Let's pray. Lord God, we want to pause just for a moment this morning, and we want to invite you into this place. We invite your presence. We invite your anointing into this time as we open your word and study your word and learn from your word. So, Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds to be able to hear what it is that you speak to us this morning as we study your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I talked just briefly about the fact that God desires relationships and the significance of relationships within our lives. And then we talked last week about healing grace, and we really focused on healing grace within our relationships with each other. This morning, I want us to look at our relationship with God. And I want us to focus on that relationship and the fact that God offers us this restoring grace within that relationship between me, between you, and our God. I'm going to guess that if I were to take a survey of all of us in the congregation, that it would be 100% yes to this question: do relationships change? The answer is yes. Relationships change. That's just a part of life. As we experience different things, relationships change that we have already in place with people. Relationships change with our spouses. Relationships change with our children. They change with our friends. And it's no different than our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is a changing relationship. Now, how is it changing is the important question. Are we strengthening that relationship, or are we weakening that relationship with God over time? That's the question that I want us to understand a little bit this morning, is the importance of investing into our relationship with God. And one of the reasons why it's so important is because God offers us this restoring grace that we're going to talk about this morning. One of my favorite quotes that I read in the last few weeks in regards to friendship and relationships is this, and I love this quote: "You can cross the same bridge 1,000 times, but it is never the same water underneath it." And isn't that true of our relationships? We can have the same relationship with the same person for 1,000 hours, but yet the pieces of that relationship are always changing and different, just like the water going underneath that bridge. So we all have our up days in our relationship with God. We have our down days in our relationship with God. We face temptations. We've talked about that a lot over the last week. Sometimes we win those temptations. Sometimes we fail at them. The good news is that God always offers us this restoring grace that we're going to talk about today. King David, we talked about him several weeks back, just briefly. He sinned against God when he had his affair. And yet he prayed this incredibly powerful prayer that we find in Psalm 51. He says this, "Create in me a clean heart." Do we recognize this? We sing this song, right? "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." See, when we blow it, when we walk away, when we stumble, God says, "You can come back to me and I'll restore you. I'll take you back." That's God's restoring grace. Once we have grown cold, once we've let ourselves down and God down, why is it that God's willing to take us back? How can He just open His arms to us every time that we mess these things up? How can we ask Him, as King David did, to restore the joy of our salvation in our lives? How can He be so forgiving? Today, this morning, I want us to look at four different reasons why God will extend His restoring grace to us. Why God over and over and over again extends that restoring grace to us. And the first reason is this. It's simply His love for us is unconditional. His love for us is unconditional. God doesn't say, I love you if you are good, perfect, handsome. God doesn't say, I love you if you are intelligent, gorgeous, gracious. God says, I love you, and that's it, period. I love you. There's a phrase that some of us probably would be wise to start our day off telling ourselves, and some of us would probably be wise to keep repeating it to ourselves over and over and over during the course of the day. And that phrase is simply this, God will never stop loving me. God will never stop loving me. We need to be telling ourselves that over and over and over again. We need to understand that God is going to always love you. God is never going to stop loving me. God will never stop loving us because we are the recipients of His restoring grace. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's going to be page 809 if you're using one of the church Bibles. We're going to verse 9. And here we find that Paul is writing to the church, and this is what he says in regards to God's restoring grace. Starting in verse 9, he says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 11 starts with this sentence. It says, that's what some of you were. That's what some of you were. You had sin that was a part of your lives. And guess what? That's still true today. That's what we are. We have had sin. And we probably will have sin a part of our lives. God loved believers even before they were believers. Even while they were sinners. God takes sinners and turns their lives upside down if we'll allow Him to do that. He's in the life change business. He's in the business of taking somebody's life and making it the best, the fullest that it can potentially be. He takes that which is dirty and He cleans it up. He takes that that's broken and He fixes it. I don't know about you, but I'm sure thankful to God that He continues to work on my life. He's the great potter, right? He takes that lump of clay and He turns it into this beautiful piece of art that has this incredible value to it. We talked about that last week, about how God sees us. And He sees us as these people with great value. He takes that lump of clay and turns it into this beautiful piece of art with such great value. That's what God does. He's in the business of changing people's lives, and He wants to continue to change each one of our lives so it's more in line, more in tune with where He wants it to be. He knew exactly what He got when He picked me up. He knew exactly what He got when He invited me to join His family. He knew exactly the condition I was in when He chose me. And the same is true of each of you. God is not surprised by what He got when you decided to make that commitment to Jesus Christ. You know what the book of Lamentations says about God? Listen to this. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says this. the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Never. God's faithful love never ends and His mercies never cease. God does not reject believers when there is sin, because God is faithful. He's faithful even when we are not faithful. God's love is unconditional. Let's move on to the second part of why God offers this restoring grace to us. And it's because salvation isn't based on our performance. Our salvation is only based, 100% based on the grace of our God. It's not our goodness. I could do nothing good enough to be able to earn God's forgiveness. God offers forgiveness to me and to you freely. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're just going to look at Ephesians 2 for two verses. It's going to be page 827. We're in Ephesians 2. We're going to look at verse 8 and 9. Again, this is Paul talking, and he tells the Ephesians in these two verses, he says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast." The only way that we ever have any hope of getting into heaven is through the grace of our God. Can't earn it, can't work your way there, you can't buy your way there, you can't bluff your way there. There's no other way to heaven except through the grace of our God. In the book of Titus, Paul tells us in chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "He," referring to God, "God saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." If you don't get into heaven on the grace of Jesus Christ, you're not going there. That's all there is to it. It's the only way. God does not reject me as a believer when I sin. And that's the beautiful restoring grace of our God. He wants to restore us when there's garbage in our lives. I remember back when I was in elementary school, and we were at this church called Massey Place Community Church. My dad is the pastor there, and our youth pastor was a guy by the name of Gord Law. My two older brothers were in the youth program. I was not at the time. But Gord oftentimes tried to spend time with the three boys. He would take us out camping. He would take us out to do different things. And Gord had come to us and said, "Hey, I want to take you guys to a BMX track that has opened up in Saskatoon." So a BMX track is just this dirt track with lots of hills and jumps and that kind of stuff. And you ride your bike and you jump the jumps and you go as fast as you can. And you time each other and all this kind of stuff. So we were really looking forward to this time with Gord at this BMX track. Well, the day came for it to happen, and I remember sitting in school and looking out the window, and it was just raining and raining and raining and raining. And I knew full well what that meant. It meant that it was just going to be a mud mess, and we're not going to be able to go to the BMX track today. Kind of disappointed. Get out of school, and Gord's there to pick us up. He's like, "Let's get the bikes and let's go." So, to our surprise, we pack up the bikes, and we head out to the BMX track, and we spend the next hours at the BMX track, in the rain, in the mud, riding our BMX bikes through this course. We came home a filthy, dirty, rotten mess as kids. All three boys, just covered from head to toe in mud. And when we got home, certainly, my parents didn't all of a sudden just not love us anymore because we were dirty. No, they took the hose and they sprayed us off. They had us come in and they showered us. And they continued to love us. They restored us, in a sense, to how we should be. right? That's the business that God's in. He's in the restoring business. When we're covered in filth and dirt, God's there to hose us off. He's there to take us and say, come with me. I want to restore you to the way that you should be. The third reason that God offers His restoring grace to us is because He understands our human weaknesses. He understands that we are far from being able to handle the journey of life on our own. He gets that. Jesus doesn't just get it. I think He's sympathetic to that idea. He knows my faults. He knows my failures. He knows my frailties. He knows my innermost tickings of life. The things I can and can't do well. He knows how I'm wired and He understands me through and through. The same is true of you. He knows all the same about every person that He created. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at Hebrews 4, verse 15, just for a moment. It's going to be page 848. In Hebrews chapter 4, looking at verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." See, the truth of the matter is that Jesus, He became human in order that He could sympathize with us as humans. Over in John chapter 1, many of you would be familiar with the very first verse of John 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then if you go on to verse 14 in that same chapter, it continues on and it says this. It says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. He came and lived among us. Dwelled among us. One of the most beautiful truths that we should cling to and work at constantly remembering in our Christian life is that God understands what you're going through. He understands what you're going through. God understands what I am going through. I want you to say that with me. God understands what I'm going through. Don't forget that. That it's such an important thing for us to remember as believers. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our thoughts that go through our mind, our fears. He knows the temptations that we're dealing with. He knows because He has lived just like one of us. The only difference is He didn't sin. When Jesus was here on earth, He experienced every temptation known to humans. He said, "I understand it all. I've stood where you stand. I understand what it's like to be human because I live in human flesh on this land for 33 years. He understands our weaknesses. And He understands that we need His restoring grace. He knows that we're going to go through difficult times in life. He knows what it's like to be tempted, and He won't reject us because of our human weakness. He'll restore us in those times. He'll restore us to all that we can be." The fourth point, God offers His restoring grace to us because God doesn't hold us or hold grudges on us. God doesn't hold grudges. Many of us hold on to grudges. Many of us find ourselves at some point in life holding on to some hurt, something that somebody said to us, whether it's intentional or not intentional, something that somebody did to us. We just find this way to hold on to grudges. God doesn't do that. In fact, in Psalm 103, verse 12, it says this about God. It says as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Does that sound like a God that's holding on to grudges? As far as the east is from the west. As far as the east is from the west, God doesn't hold on to our transgressions. God is in the forgiving business. As far as the east is from the west, God removes our sins from us. When God forgives us, He forgives us completely. I remember my sins, and you may remember your sins too. They haunt us at times, I think. But when God forgives us, He treats us as if they never happened. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. I think the beginning of that particular passage in Psalm 103 is worth us taking a few moments to read together this morning. So I want you to turn with me, page 428, Psalm 103. These first verses in this psalm, before the verse that I've just read a couple times, as far as east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions. These beginning verses of this psalm, they give us just this little glimpse into the character of God. So I want to take the time this morning so that we can see the character of the God that we're talking about this morning. So we start at verse 3. It says this: Who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His way to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. Did you catch that? He's not going to harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, is how far He removes our transgressions from us. God's character is different than ours. God's character is not the same as Dustin's. God's character is not the same as yours. Thank God for that reality. There are times when we will not let go of things, where we harbor it inside of us. We remember these things. We won't forgive. But that's not the case with God. He forgives to the fullest. Peter at one time came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, he said, "Master, how many times do I have to forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? Should I forgive him 7 times? Thinking that this was quite the display of compassion and grace and mercy. You remember what Jesus' answer was? Remember what His answer was? 7 times, no way. Try 70 times 7. And it's not just the math equation there. That's not some magical number that we're talking about. What He's saying is continually, over and over and over again, forgive. Don't you think that Jesus will forgive over and over and over again to each one of us as he's instructing Peter to do the same. The forgiveness of God is displayed through Jesus Christ. We see it in Jesus' last moments. We're coming close to the time of year where we celebrate Easter. And we'll be talking about these last moments of Jesus. And we see it in these last moments, Jesus displaying as he's hanging on the cross, this forgiveness as he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they've done." When we let God down, he forgives us over and over again. God is in the forgiving business, and I thank God that he is. I hope you do too. In the first couple chapters of the book of Jeremiah, we see this picture that's painted of Israel. And it's not a good picture that we see. It's a picture of disobedience, of defiance, of faithlessness of Israel. And then in chapter 3, God tells them, he says, "Come back, you rebellious people, and I will forgive you for being unfaithful." This is God's restoring grace. This is a picture of God's restoring grace right in front of us. As he offers to take Israel back, he offers to take us back just the same. It's the grace that was offered, that Dale shared with us earlier in congregational prayer, by this lady that was so impacted by this dumb decision of a teenager. And she offers this grace. "I want you to live the best life that you can." That's the grace that God offers to us. As he offers to take Israel back, he also offers to take us back no matter what is a part of our lives. He wants to clean us up. He wants to get the garden hose out and spray us off. Because he loves us. He loves us unconditionally. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't want us to live apart from him. So let me ask you this in our closing moments together. Who here needs God's restoring grace today? Do you need God's restoring grace today? Is there something that has come between you and God, and you need a fresh start and a healthy, vibrant, pleasing, honoring relationship with God? Do you need a fresh start at that? Because whatever it is, no matter how big it might seem to you in this moment, know that God is in the business of offering his restoring grace to each one of us. All we have to do is ask for it. I encourage us this morning, as we end in a word of prayer in just a moment, to take care of business this morning. If there's something going on in your life, and you need to say to God, "God, I need your grace. I need your restoring grace in my relationship with you." As I'm praying in a moment, I just want you to pray to God, to ask for his restoring grace, to confess what needs confessed, to turn a new page in your journey, in your chapter of the book of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again this morning, as we've been looking at this idea of the grace that you show, as we look at this idea of your restoring grace in our lives, the opportunity for fresh starts, the opportunity to receive your forgiveness, may we be nudged to do so right now. Lord God, there are some here today that need to sense and feel your restoring grace. And I would pray, Lord God, as they ask for that, as they confess what is needed to be confessed,
your presence would be made so known to them. That it would be the beginning of this beautiful new chapter in the book of their journey with you. And in 5 or 10 years from now, they'd be able to look back and say, I remember that Sunday morning when I made things right with God. And because of His restoring grace, I've been on this different journey. Father God, help us all to find comfort in the words that we read earlier. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your love for those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. Help us to cling to those words, to trust in those words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.